the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to Jesus all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And Jesus cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew Jesus. In the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for Jesus. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." Jesus answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do." And he went out throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I hope this works this morning. We're combining a few different elements, and that always is interesting. It's a busy world. Work, family, household chores, sports, leisure, and rest. We're pulled different directions. We have different responsibilities. It seems like there's too much to do and not enough hours in the day to do it. As a pastor, as someone who goes visiting people in their homes, as someone that runs into them at the co-op, at the gas station, I wonder where church fits into the busy world of people. Where it fits in amongst the work, the family, the household chores, the cutting the lawn, the sports, the hockey games, hockey tournaments, time at the ski hill, the volleyball tournaments, you name it, and the leisure and rest, the me time, the time to put up our feet, to not shower, to not put on fancy clothes, to not start at the car, to not come to church. I often wonder where church fits into the hierarchy of our daily, weekly responsibilities. The number one excuse I hear when I talk to people that I have not seen in a while, "Pastor, I've been so busy. I've been meaning to come, but my kids have this every Sunday." Fill in the blank, whatever it may be. "I've been meaning to come, but I've been," fill in the blank, "here every Sunday. I've been meaning to come, but I have to work every Sunday." Where does church fit into the hierarchy of people's time? What prominence do we give it? Do we see it as something that happens at the end of the week? And if we have enough energy left, if we have enough time left, if the dishes are done, the clothes are washed, then we come to church? Does church get the scraps that fall off the table? It's a question I ask of myself quite often. Sunday is the start of the week. It is the day of the resurrection. Look on your calendars. The week starts with Sunday. The week does not end with Sunday. We begin our week. Our week of work, our week with our family, our week with our friends, our week of activity, by gathering in worship, by celebrating Christ. But all too often we see it as an end. And thus, if there's nothing left in the tank, if there's no more energy left, church falls onto the ash heap. It is a busy world. Time is important. Time is money. Time is valuable. Time is a commodity. We only have so many hours in a day and so many hours in a week. Many of those hours are already allocated. If we work, 40, 50, 60 hours a week might be allocated to work. If our kids are in hockey, how many hours a week is that? If we volunteer in the community, how many hours a week is that? Then our leisure time, the things we enjoy, our hobbies, the needed time for rest, the needed time for relaxation. How many hours a week do we have for that? Time is an important commodity, and it seems like there is never enough of it. The Washington Post. A few months ago, the Washington Post commissioned a study. They wondered how people treated time in regards to things of value. So they did a study, a very interesting study. They were curious if people would appreciate beauty in a profane area. And now profane, I don't mean a local tavern. I don't mean a peep show. I mean the D.C. Washington subway station. Somewhere where people don't expect to find beauty. So what did they do? They hired a musician, a violinist. His name is Joshua Bell. He's recorded 30 albums for Sony Entertainment. He's played in New York. He's played in San Francisco. He's played in Boston. He's played in Sydney. He's played at the Moscow Opera House. He's played all over the world. He's considered the best, maybe one of the best, violinists in the world. He performs more than 100 concerts a year. Solo acts, where people just go to see him. The average ticket price for one of his concerts is over $100 per seat. They can run as high as $1,000 for the front rows. He plays his music. Mr. Joshua Bell plays his music, his violin, on a 350-year-old Stradivarius, valued at $3.5 million. Here's a picture of Joshua and his violin. So guess what happens next? January 12, 2007. The Washington Post takes Joshua Bell and his $3.5 million violin, and they take him to perform in a busy Washington, D.C. subway. They set him beside a garbage can. He takes out his $3.5 million violin. He opens the case at his feet, and he begins to play for 45 minutes. The Washington Post is worried about crowd control. Will people notice him? Will crowds form? The night before this happened, on January 11th, he did a sold-out show at the Washington Opera House. The average ticket price is over $200. And now, he finds himself on the morning of January 12th, standing beside a garbage can in the D.C. Metro subway with a $3.5 million violin playing a concerto. The result? Guess what? A security camera captures it all. The greatest, one of the greatest violin players of our period, with a $3.5 million violin, who just sold out the Library of Congress, the Boston Symphony Orchestra, plays for 45 minutes beside a trash can in a crowded D.C. subway and attracts four people. Do you know how much money he made in his open Stradivarius case? $23.15. And that's only because one woman recognized him from the night before and she gave him a 20. Crowd control? There was no need for crowd control. Everybody put their head down to get on with life. And they missed out on what was happening right in front of him. He was playing the same violin, and he was playing the same music that people spent over $200 a ticket for the night before, and happily dressed up and went to the concert hall to see. And he did it in the subway station, and barely anyone paid notice. I'm interested in this. Because as a Lutheran, this is often how I see the church. God is making music amongst us. Whether we stop and watch, whether we contribute, whether we applaud, God is being God. God's working to bless the world. God's working to liberate the world. God bringing the world into the fullness of Christ. But what about us? Are we just walking by? Are our heads down? Are we late for our next appointment? Our next responsibility? Our next time at work? At home? At the coffee shop? At the hockey rink? At the ski hill? Do we walk right by God? Or do we stop? Do we enjoy the music? Do we enjoy the beauty around us and in front of us? Do we worship that? Do we honor that? Or do we go on with our day? God is God. We don't come to worship to bend God's ear, to earn God's favor. We come to worship to celebrate God. We come to worship to honor God. We come to worship to recognize what God is doing around us. And we come to worship to strengthen one another as we join with God, as we join the symphony of music that God is playing with, in, and around us. But all too often, our heads are down, and we miss the beauty and the majesty and the grace and the glory of what God is doing. Tonight, we'll have our annual meeting. Zion Lutheran Church has give or take 1,000 members. If there are more than 5% of our membership here tonight, you can knock me over with a feather. What does that tell you? I know what it tells me. Our heads are down and we're going through life. You know what we're going to do tonight at the annual meeting? We're going to talk about the music that God's playing amongst us. How God is using us. How God has blessed us. How God has challenged us. How God is equipping us. We're going to talk about the great things God has done throughout the past year. And we're going to talk about the great hopeful things that God will work amongst us in the coming year. But will we take time? Will we stop? Will we contribute? Will we add our gifts, our skills, and our resources to the music that God is making? Some yes, some no. Joshua Bell stood there for over 45 minutes. Four people stopped. Thousands walked by. Is the church that much different? People like the church. People hope the church is there when they need the church. A baptism, a wedding, a funeral, a confirmation, a crisis. But unless it's a need, how important is it? Where does it rank in the hierarchy of life? Of how we invest our time? Of how we invest our gifts, our talents, and yes, our money? Where does the church fit into that? Do you spend more at Tim Hortons in a week than an offering? Guess where your church is. Do you spend more at the hockey rink in a week than your offering? Guess where your church is. Do you spend more at the ski hill in a week than your offering? Guess where your church is. Those are hard words, but it's the truth. What do we honor? With our time, with our possessions, with our gifts and abilities. Tonight we will meet and we will talk about that. We will hold up faithful partners of ministry. We will commend them. We will thank them. We will look for future faithful partners of ministry. People who will roll up their sleeves and join with us to bring God's kingdom into being. How many leaders is God raising up amongst us? How many faithful men and women will say, yeah, I'm gifted. I'm gifted with the Holy Spirit. I'm gifted with the gifts of administration, of love, of prayer, of preaching, of music, you name it, Paul lays it out. There is no hiding from service. There is no one who can climb under a rock and say, I am unworthy. I am not talented enough. I am not skilled enough. I am not good enough. I am not rich enough. Paul wipes the slate clear. The church is for all. It is the work of all. And whether people walk by it, whether their heads are down, whether they pay it no thought, whether they see us as a noisy inconvenience in the distance that wrecks the calm and peace of their day, the church will remain. Because Christ established the church. It was to Peter Christ looked and said, on you I will build my church. You will be the rock. You will be the foundation. This is God doing. If the church is a burden, if you don't like the church, if you begrudge the church, don't blame me. Don't blame the people sitting beside you. Blame God. Because God established the church for our benefit. To bring us together. To pool our gifts, our talents, our resources. For the glory of Christ. But are we willing to pool them? Are we willing to share of them? Are we willing to give of them? As I said, if there's more than 5% of our membership here tonight at our annual general meeting, a time where we'll talk about ministry, about budget, about staffing, about planning, you can knock me over with a feather. And why is that? Too busy? Too tired? Prior commitments? No concern? Or just not care? I'm always curious what the answer is. What will it be? Do we stop? Do we gather? Do we honor the music that God is making in, with, and around us? Do we support it? Do we applaud it? Or do we ignore it? Or in the worst case scenario, do we curse it as noise that wrecks the peace of our day? Oh, it's Sunday and there's church. Oh, it's Wednesday and there's Bible study. Oh, it's Tuesday and there's choir. Oh, there's a funeral, I gotta bake brownies. Oh, man. It never ends. Where is our heart in relation to God? In relation to God's church? That's the question. In your hierarchy of time, of talent, of needs, of wants, and of money, where does the church rank? I pray that we'll be counted among the faithful who stop, who honor, and who recognize the beautiful work that God is doing around us. Amen.